With me on the phone today from Moncton, New Brunswick is Joanne Perrault, coordinator for the New Brunswick Pay Equity Coalition. The group is asking the provincial government to enact legislation that will ensure pay equity in the public and private sectors. Welcome to the program, Joanne.
Thank you.
First of all, can you tell me how the New Brunswick Coalition was formed?
Yeah, in 1998, one women's organization here thought that we should have pay equity legislation for the public and the private sectors in New Brunswick. And they decided that they would want to go about it in a coalition. So they started getting, you know, experts and other organizations around the province to work together on this issue. And actually, at the beginning, we were called the Women's Union for Pay Equity, but then we changed our name for the Coalition for Pay Equity because we're not a union, really, and it was confusing. And also because we wanted to acknowledge that we had some male allies, and we wanted them to feel they could participate and join the organization, which they did. So now the coalition is really a group of organizations, but also of individual members. We have we've got 56 member organizations and close to 500 individual members.
That's great. What would you say is the current wage gap in New Brunswick between women and men workers?
Yeah, it's $2.41 an hour. So in an hour, that's the difference between what men and women earn right now. And there was a study that was done in 2004 about the wage gap in New Brunswick. And it was done by an economist from Halifax, Ater Akbury. And he found that about 80% of the wage gap was unexplainable. Like, he looked at different characteristics that could have explained the wage gap, like marital status or work experience, union status, the size of firm, different, there were 14 or 15 factors that he looked for. But after looking at all the factors he could think of, there was still 80% that was unexplainable. And that's usually what we see as being due to discrimination. So really, the major part of the hourly pay gap in New Brunswick is due to discrimination.
Before talking about some of the other explanations for the wage gap, I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate on the impact of this wage gap for women workers?
Yeah, well, of course it has quite an impact. If you look at career time, for instance, we once looked at, well, given the numbers that we have now, how much would that mean that women are losing over a career period? And it looks like it would be about 80,000. And that's being very conservative, because we're not talking about the interest on the money and that money and all that stuff. So really, there's a financial impact that is quite obvious, and it means that you can't have as much education, as much access to all kinds of goods for you and your family. So I guess that's the most important impact. But also, you know, there's I'd say a kind of a psychological impact of the wage gap as well, because often women know that they should be earning more than what they earn in the job they're doing when they compare it with the job that would be mostly a male job. Because really, like, maybe I should explain what is pay equity first. Pay equity is equal pay for work of equal value. So what we're questioning is, why is it that those jobs that are mostly female are being paid less than the jobs that are mostly male when they have the same value? And to find out if they have the same value, you would look at four factors: education, responsibility, effort, and working conditions. And if, you know, you give points to those things, and if the points are the same, the salary should be the same. But right now, that's not what we see. Often you have jobs that are mostly female, that are even more skilled or, you know, require more efforts, that are being paid less than the, you know, a job that they would be compared with within the same employer. So women in those jobs know that they are being underpaid. For instance, secretaries at the university here are earning less than the janitors. Now, they have to have a college degree. They have to have good communication skills. They have to do a lot of multitasking. And actually, the job description is lengthy. And for the janitor, all that's required is there's no requirement in terms of education. So there's a clear unfairness in that situation. And the secretaries know about it, and they don't feel they're being recognized by their employers. And I'd say that it has a bit of a psychological impact, in the sense that you don't feel you have the status you should have.
And yearly, I understand, past a certain date, women would be working for free. What day is that again? Pay Equity Day in New Brunswick?
Well, there's what we did at some point. We decided that we would look at if we looked at the discrimination that women are facing, we looked at how much more money they should be getting. So if we got rid, for instance, of the 80% part of the wage gap that is due to discrimination, we were wondering how many days is it that women are working for free in a way. And we decided that it would be around the 16th of November that women, it's really as though women are not being paid starting on the 16th of November because of the wage gap that is due to discrimination.
And what are some of the other explanations for the wage gap?
Well, I guess the 20% of the wage gap that's left can be explained by different factors. But the one major one here in New Brunswick would be that women tend to have less work experience throughout their career. And usually that would be because they tend to work less hours than men in a week. And also, they tend to stop because of the children. Huh? We usually take now it's a year off because we are bearing children and we take care of them when they are born. But also throughout the career, women might get off work or out of the workplace on and off to take care of family duties. So that has an impact, but it's a relatively small impact compared to the discrimination. And that's why the coalition would like to have legislation for pay equity so that we could really tackle that discrimination and have systems in place that would ensure that pay is being fairly determined for those jobs that are mostly female. So I guess in the 70s, we talked a lot about equal pay for equal work. So we were talking about, you know, female nurse earning the same as a male nurse. And that's the law now across Canada, I'm pretty sure. So it's not as much a problem, even though I've encountered cases where women will earn less than men doing the same job for the same employer. But usually that's not the case because it is legislated. Now, what we're saying is that women tend to go still in the same kinds of jobs as before, and they tend to go in those predominantly female jobs, like secretaries or teacher's assistants, home support workers. You find a lot of women in those jobs, or daycare workers as well. So why is it that those jobs are often paid less than the jobs that would have the same value that are mostly male? So that's what we want to correct now, I guess, with that kind of legislation, with pay equity legislation.
And what kind of steps have been undertaken by the coalition so far in having this legislation enacted in New Brunswick?
I guess one of the strong points in our actions was the World March of Women in 2000. We gathered 35,000 petitions, and we presented those to the premier here. And that gave us a lot of visibility, and certainly got the governments here for the issue. But we also have worked since then a lot on education, because a lot of people are not aware of that kind of discrimination, because it's more, it's not as visible, I guess, or as obvious as, you know, two people getting this. A different pay for the same job. But, you know, people have to be aware that, you know, there are other forms of discrimination, and that pay equity would solve one of those. So we've done a lot of education. We gave lots of presentations. For instance, we've had a postcard campaign as well. We had fun activities as well, because we think that we have to tackle those difficult issues with humor as well. For instance, we had a year we decided to go and sing Christmas carols at the Legislative Assembly, and we even gave Christmas cards to the Premier in which we wrote our own message. And for instance, we said one of them was, in New Brunswick, the wage gap is huge. Men get Santa, women get Scrooge. So that got a lot of media attention, and we had a lot of fun ourselves doing this, and that was a good way to get the issue talked about in different places. People actually called to get some of those cards to sign them, and within 3 weeks we got 2,000 of those cards, so that was fun. We also have done a lot of work with the media, because, of course, that's one way to reach a broad audience quickly. We've met many of our politicians, too, because they are the ones who have the power to pass legislation, whether we like it or not. So we have to talk to them and explain to them what is at issue here. A lot of them are confused with pay parity, which would be equal pay for equal value, but equal pay for equal work. But what we wanted to do is to explain to them that we need that pay equity legislation, that we look at those jobs that are traditionally or mostly female, and make sure that they are being paid at the right value. And we've decided to write our own bill at some point, and we asked the three political parties here, the NDP, the Liberals, and the Conservatives, to bring it at the Legislative Assembly. And in the end, it was NDP leader Elizabeth Weir, who's now stepped out of politics, but she was the one who brought the bill forward at the Legislative Assembly, and she was seconded by a Liberal MLA, Carmel Robichaud, and that bill was then sent to a committee that held public hearings. The sad thing about this whole thing, though, is that in December this year, we got a report from the Law Amendment Committee that was responsible of reviewing the piece of legislation. And even though we had like a major support, like most presentations that were given at the public hearings were in support of the pay equity bill, the committee decided not to go for it, and they decided to go for voluntary measures. Actually, I should backtrack a little bit. In June 2005, the minister responsible for the status of women decided to, well, she released an action plan, a five-year action plan to reduce the wage gap. And the plan is looking at four issues, pay equity, but also access to jobs for women, like access to traditionally male jobs or access to positions of power for women. And also they've looked at child care and changing social attitudes. So they are now developing tools to make changes in those four areas, but they are taking a voluntary approach. And, well, we don't really think that it's going to work for pay equity. In fact, in Quebec, they have pay equity legislation for the public and the private sectors. And they did a survey after a little while with those employers that had pay equity programs in place. And 85% of the employers said that they wouldn't have done those programs if there wouldn't have been a law. So the law was a major tool in making those changes in implementing pay equity programs in the workplace. I guess it's kind of normal in a way. Like I don't want to make the employers sound like they're terrible, but it's, you know, they are there to make profit. We have to admit that, and they have their own logic, and their job is that. But and to do pay equity might not seem like a very pressing issue for many of them. So legislation helps to move the issue forward much faster. And actually, many of the employers in Quebec also said that they found that doing this kind of exercise gave them a chance to get a better knowledge about what their employees were doing. They found there was a higher level of productivity, better satisfaction, better atmosphere at work as well, because, like I was saying earlier, women know that they're being underpaid, and they get frustrated with it. But if you feel that you're being paid, you're right, you know, at the value of your work, it's always more satisfying, and you feel more valued, and you're willing to go maybe a little further for your job to do a better job. So that's where we're at now. We are going to end the first year of the action plan in June, and then there will be four more years to go. But the one positive thing is that the government has said at many occasions that after 5 years, if the action plan didn't give enough results, they would legislate. So we are following that process very closely, and hopefully we will be able to make changes with those voluntary measures. But really, honestly, based on the knowledge that we have now, we don't think that it's going to happen, or it's not going to happen at the speed we would wish for. You know, we're in 2006, and there's no reason there would be that kind of discrimination against women. Most women are in the workplace nowadays, and they should be paid for their work.
It seems that the most contentious issue for politicians was this issue of whether it would be voluntary to enact pay equity in the private sector or not, because I understand there is already pay equity in the public sector. Mm-hmm. But I would like to point out, and I think it's important to point out, that it was an all-male committee who was reviewing this proposed bill that Elizabeth Weir had put forth, and I would just like to voice my disappointment in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the problem, too, is that we need more women representatives, because they're the ones who will defend women's rights in Parliament. I don't think that we can really expect men to do it for us, because they're obviously siding with business here instead of the women workers of New Brunswick. And I think, I don't know, it's insulting. It's a double insult to say your work is not valued, and we're the ones who are deciding that. But yeah, I was wondering if you could speak about the status of that bill that was proposed by Elizabeth Weir. Has it died? Is it still in its reading process, or can you tell me about that?
No, what happened is that because the Law Amendment Committee that was responsible for reviewing the bill decided to give a report against it in December, it kind of dies there. And the only way we can, we have to revive it, I guess, in some way, and hope and work for politicians to bring it back at the Legislative Assembly. And, you're basically right. I think that here the issue is that the government doesn't like to impose things on the employers. We've been told that we don't want to interfere with the market. However, really, the government has always intervened in the market, and it is intervening in the market now. And really, I think it's a false issue in the end. Really, like, there's always that that threat, or I guess that businesses might go out of business because of progressive legislation like that. But really, they've always said that. And we've had the maternity leave, and you know, no business has closed over that. And in Quebec, they had pay equity legislation, and in Ontario as well, and no business has closed. So I guess it's not a real it's not really an issue, but the government is very reluctant to intervene in the market in that way right now. So now we're preparing for the next election, and we want to work with the three parties and push them as far as we can. We really want them to support this pay equity bill, or to have a new pay equity bill, and maybe improve the one that we had prepared first. But we want to have that in the platforms of each political party. We'll see if that works, but that is our goal. So we will be doing a lot of meetings with our politicians and all the candidates from all political parties, and we'll see how far we can go with that. That's our plan for the next year.
And how else can people get involved or find out more about the New Brunswick Pay Equity Coalition?
Well, actually, I would like to invite people. Like, we are a New Brunswick organization, mind you, but we would like to invite people to at least get information about pay equity on our website. It's www.equité in French without accents, so it would be EQUITE -equity.com. And they can also call me to get more information at 506-855-0002. And if they want to get involved, actually, we are organizing across the province here to meet our politicians, and it's great to have people who can meet their politician in their own riding. So we would invite them to join our effort and call us, and we can give them information kits that they could use to do their work with their politicians, and match them with other people in their ridings to do some meetings like that. Another thing that people can do, if they're involved in a group, in an organization, in the classroom, they can invite us to come and give a presentation on pay equity and spread the word, explain what the concept is about, and try to get more people interested in it. And I also invite people to look at their own job and try to find a job description and look at it. And if they have a job description already, look at it and make sure that it really is what the job is about, because sometimes those things change. And, well, the jobs change, but not the job description. So it's important to have a good job description if you want to find out whether you're being paid fairly or not, and to compare your own job with those jobs that are mostly male jobs, and see whether you're getting the right value for your work. And I guess those are the main things. We have regional committees across the province, so people can also join those committees and participate in different actions. For instance, the March the 8th, we had an activity where we had gatherings of women to celebrate the International Women's Day. We asked people to read 10 voluntary measures for employees. So we were kind of making fun of the voluntary measures that are being proposed by the government and saying, well, let's try our own. And we were saying, well, maybe if we want to have our pay equity, we should go to work wearing a mustache and see what happens. Or we should bring our children to our bus on Friday afternoons and save on child care because we don't get our fair pay. So we organized that kind of actions in different parts of the province. So people who want to participate in that kind of actions can also join and let us know, and we will match them with different committees that we have in place. So those are the most important actions that can be done. I have to go back a little bit because I wanted to clarify that in the public sector here in New Brunswick, we don't have pay equity legislation that is valid. There was one in 1989 for one small part of the public sector, the people who were working directly in departments, but not for the education or the health sectors or the crown corporations. So, but because the exercise has been done so long ago, like it's 17 years ago, jobs have changed tremendously just because of computers, for instance, and because, well, work structures constantly evolve. So, you know, we need to do pay equity exercises at a certain interval every 2 years, for instance, so that we make sure that we are still up to date. And that hasn't been done here. So really, in fact, it's as though there was no pay equity legislation at all anymore for the public sector.
And that's equal pay for equal work?
No, that would be equal pay for work of equal value. So that's
based
really
on
pay equity legislation.
Based on skills, education,
yes.
Job description?
Yeah, that's it. Based on skills and responsibilities, efforts, and working conditions.
Great. So pay equity is equal pay for work of the same value. Brings
yeah.
to mind, for example, a hockey player's salary versus a daycare worker's salary. I mean,
yeah.
What we value more in society.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, it is it's an interesting comparison that we've often said, you know, childcare workers are earning almost half of what a zookeeper is earning. So you're right, you know, what do we value in our society? However, with pay equity legislation, to be fair and not to raise too much expectations, we wouldn't compare jobs across the province. We would compare jobs within the same workplace or within the same employer. So you wouldn't compare, for instance, a secretary working at the university and one that is working in for Irving, for instance. You would compare the secretary and the janitor working in the university, though, in the same university. So that's the way it's being done, because we acknowledge that all employers don't have the same means to pay their employees, but with they should have a certain fairness in the way they allocate pay. So that's what we want to correct, the discrimination within the workplace.
I think that language also plays a part in this. For example, a head cashier is called a head cashier, not, for example, you know, fiscal manager or something like that. The person working in the meat department, they're called the meat manager, whereas they would have the same responsibilities for the most part.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point. And actually, one of the MLAs we met, who was familiar with grocery stores, was saying that it's often the case that the person who's in charge of the meat, the meat manager, as you call it, and as he called it as well, was earning more than the person in charge of the deli, which was usually a woman. And so, you know, when you think about it, the responsibilities are the same. But, you know, there was a discrepancy in the pay. And that's in many grocery stores. And this, again, to look at grocery stores, cashiers often earn less than the shelf stocker, and the cashiers are almost 100% female, and the shelf stockers are mostly male, and there can be in some cases as much as $1.50 an hour difference. And when you think about it, the cashier has to stand quite a bit of stress because of, you know, those lineups that they have to face all the time. They're standing up. They're responsible for the money. Their cash has to balance at the end of the day, so they have to be very concentrated. And the work that is being done by the shelf stocker is important as well, but it requires less responsibilities and, I would say, less effort. So why is it that it's still the case that in many grocery stores, the cashiers are getting less pay? So that's one example. Another example would be the doorman at a hotel that would earn more than the house cleaner in the same hotel. You know, why is that? When you think about the efforts and the work, the responsibility, is that really fair? You know, that's what we're questioning. That's what we want to. That's what we want to look at with pay equity legislation and make sure that the pay is fair for those women in those jobs. Really, we're fighting against discrimination that is centuries old. Really, for the longest time, women were earning less than men doing the same job, and it was perceived as normal because men were seen as the breadwinners. But really, it's been only in the 60s, in 1965 actually, here in New Brunswick, we had legislation that made the minimum salary the same for men and women. But until then, women's minimum wage was lower than men's. So we're really fighting against, you know, centuries-old discrimination, and that's why we feel that we need legislation and we need tools that will correct that discrimination. And it's not always, how can I say that, active discrimination. It's often systemic. It's not really that the employers are thinking, oh, well, it's women doing that, I will just pay it less, but it's just been that way forever, and they don't even think about it. And that's why, again, we need legislation and we need tools to make that profound a change.
It seems like, in addition to discrimination, job segregation plays also a big part in the devaluation of women's work.
Yes, actually, I think they go hand in hand, really. Yeah, women were barred from many from many professions for the longest time, and now they are allowed to enter those, although the conditions are not always that easy. And some get discouraged and get out of those traditionally male fields, which is sad, really. But there's certainly that segregation that that contribute to that. And it's kind of a, as though because women do those jobs that are different from men's, it's not as obvious that there is discrimination. Like I was saying earlier, it's obvious when it's the same job, the same, and the pay is not the same. But it, when it's different jobs, then it's not as obvious. You need to think a little more about it. So that's what we want to do with the pay equity legislation.
I'm also thinking that harassment in the workplace might play a role in discouraging women from entering male-dominated fields.
Yeah, I must admit that it does happen. I've talked to a number of women who are in those traditionally male jobs, and sometimes I think that the employer is not aware that there will be those there will be resistance in the among the co-workers, and that they can make those women's jobs hell, really, in some cases. And yeah, I was talking to a carpenter and to a security guard, and both had faced that kind of harassment, you know, just being tested all the time, or being given the, you know, the less pleasant jobs or the hardest jobs, just to see, you know, how far they're able to go. And that's, you know, that's not fair. The, you know, new other male workers that are coming to new jobs are not being treated that way, and there's no reason to do it for women. So it makes it a little, it makes it complex, because women are faced with discrimination in different settings, in different, I guess it takes different forms, and that is what makes change so difficult. Mind you, in a more positive note, the wage gap in New Brunswick has been declining slowly, too slowly, but it is declining in the long term. So there is definitely a change in mentalities out there. But, you know, for some things, we need to take more stronger tools, I'd say, and legislation can be one of the solutions that we should look at.
Joanne Perron from the New Brunswick Pay Equity Coalition, I would like to thank you for joining us on this program today. And would you have any last comments to add for our listeners out there?
Well, I guess I really want to encourage women, particularly, to look at their own job and really think about it and look at the value of the work they're doing. And that's where we will start to change, I think.
And the website, again, is www.equity-equity.com. So that's Equity, E-Q-U-I-T-E. Thanks again for joining our program.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You have been listening to an interview with Joanne Perron, coordinator for the New Brunswick Pay Equity Coalition. The group is asking the provincial government to enact legislation that will ensure pay equity, that is, equal pay for work of the same value in both the public and private sectors. I'm Candace Moores for the CKDU Women's Collective.